Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Aegis Logistics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rasika Savant from Orient Capital, Investor Relations Partner. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Rasika.
Thank you, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference Limited. Today on this call we have Mr. Raj Chindaria, Chairman and Managing Director, along with senior management team. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as company's website. With this, I hand over call to Mr. Raj Chindaria for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm joined by our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Murad Moledina, and we'll be presenting the FY22-23 H1 results, as well as the outlook for FY22-23 and various business updates. Let me start by reminding everyone of our vision for the company. Our vision is to be the leading provider of logistics and supply chain services to India's oil, gas, and chemical industry. Everything we do is aligned to this vision. Let me say that with the successful commencement of our partnership with Royal Vopak, and with the successful launch of the Kandla LPG terminal and the successful acquisition of the Friends terminal and the growth projects currently under implementation, that vision is certainly coming into clearer focus. We are now the market leaders in Kandla, Pipavav, Mumbai, Mangalore, Kochi, and Haldia. In some cases, in capacity terms, we are the leader in capacity terms, but in all cases, in terms of quality, reliability, and service. This applies to both liquids and LPG. As we enter new locations, I'm confident that the same dedication to quality, reliability, and service will move us into market leadership positions in these new ports as well. We will strive to translate the same dedication to quality, reliability, and service in the gas distribution segment as well. I think I can say with some confidence that we are already there in certain geographic markets. As we extend our footprint, this dedication will follow. Now, finally, before I move on to the financial results, I want to emphasize that being the leading provider of logistics and supply chain services to India's oil, gas, and chemical sector carries with it a duty of care and responsibility to environmental sustainability. At Aegis, this responsibility is taken very seriously, and we have now incorporated this into the design philosophy of new gas and liquid terminals, in addition to retrofitting older facilities. Now turning to the results. You will recall that we had a solid performance for the last fiscal year, 2021-22, and we are pleased to report that the first half of 2022-23, i.e. H1, is tracking well to deliver another strong performance for FY 2022-23. and to build further on the profits growth that we saw in FY 2021-2022. Revenues increased to 4,386 crores versus 1,318 crores year-on-year, primarily as a result of higher sourcing volumes. Normalized EBITDA for the group increased to 347 crores in H1 versus 262 crores in the previous year. That's a rise of 33% over the previous year and a lifetime high. Profit before tax rose to 259 crores as compared to 214 crores year-on-year. That is a rise of 21% before profit before tax growth. The profit after tax for the group was 209 crores versus 173 crores year-on-year, and that's a rise of 21%. Now, generally, the second half, H2, is stronger than H1, and we therefore believe that this sets us up for robust profits growth during the rest of this fiscal year. Finally, on the basis of the completion of the joint venture transaction and resultant strong cash position, I'm pleased to report that the board has declared a third interim dividend of rupees 2 per share. This is, of course, a one-time and special in nature on account of this joint venture transaction. So I'd now like to hand over to Mr. Murad Moledina, our CFO, to go through the underlying segment numbers and financial details. Murad, over to you.
Thank you. Let me take up liquid terminal division first. The revenues for first half FY 2023 was 188 crores, a lifetime high, versus 130 crores year-on-year. That is an increase of 44%. The EBITDA for the quarter for this division was 124 crore, which is again an increase of 31%. Coming to the gas terminal divisions, revenues were 4,198 crore for H1 versus 1,183 crores year-on-year. The EBITDA for H1 for gas was 223 crores versus 167 crore on a year-on-year basis, a rise of 34%. We continue to see growth for the gas division with sourcing, throughput, and distribution volumes improving. I will now explain the sales volume. Starting with throughput volumes, LPG volumes for H1 for three terminals of Mumbai, Haldia, and Pipavav was 14.70 lakh metric ton or 1.47 million tons versus 1.305 million tons year-on-year, an increase of 13%. This was despite lower volumes at Haldia on account of port taking up upgradation of both the jetties where the group handles LPG. The company had good volumes at Mumbai as it operated at full capacity with IOC, HPCL, and BPCL all bringing imports at Mumbai. The LPG gantry at Pipavav continued to perform well and is delivering considerable cost savings to our customers, which is driving improved volumes at Pipavav. Now, coming to distribution, the bulk industrial segment delivered 173,990 metric tons in H1 versus 45,816 metric tons year-on-year, representing a 379% growth over the previous year and, of course, a lifetime high, with margins remaining stable. With Kandla LPG terminal operationally stabilized, we believe that this distribution business will continue to register impressive growth. The commercial and domestic cylinder segment, which sells to hotels, restaurants, and small-cap industries under the Pure Aegis Gas brand and to the domestic household segment under the Aegis Chhota Sikandar brand, was also higher, with H1 sales of 17,310 metric tons versus 11,352 metric tons a year earlier, registering a 52% increase. Auto gas sales were also slightly higher at 10,248 metric tons in H1 against 9,554 metric tons a year earlier, an increase of 7%. Margins remain stable for distribution business. The sales volume of sourcing business was 457,960 metric tons versus 159,633 metric tons a year earlier. As reported earlier, this was due to increase in volume is expected to continue this calendar year. With that, I would like to hand over back to Mr. Raj for further updates.
Okay, so let me then turn to the business updates for the quarter and the outlook for the rest of the year and an update on our capital expenditure plans. So as far as the business updates are concerned, during the period, Pipavav Port continued its work on making the LPG jetty compliant for handling VLGCs, with commissioning now expected sometime during Q3, which will further improve the competitiveness of Pipavav as a logistics hub. The work continues at Kandla Oil Jetty number 7, which will also be made VLGC compliant, and we expect it to be completed in this financial year, by the end of this financial year. Work continues on the IHBL on the KGPL LPG pipeline, which to which both Kandla and Pipavav will be connected. All of these key developments, which are slowly maturing, are positioning our Kandla and LPG terminals to be the leading gateways for feeding the key LPG pipelines of India going north and into central India. As far as the outlook for the second half of FY23 is concerned, both gas and liquids segments continue to perform well, and it is our expectation that this year's profits will continue to grow robustly. We expect our liquids business, with its leading position in the key ports of India, to perform well for the rest of the year, especially in light of good economic growth in the country. And the same applies to the LPG segment. As I have said in previous calls, we are confident that the distribution business is going to flourish and add to our base throughput business. And you've seen that in the quarterly numbers that Murad has just reported on. As far as the projects update is concerned, I'm pleased to confirm that the project work has now commenced full swing on the expansion project that we announced last year. We expect the first of these projects, an additional liquids capacity of 50,000 cubic meters in Haldia, or liquid tankage, to be commissioned during this financial year. And all the other projects are ongoing. We will keep giving updates in the ensuing quarters. As far as the Aegis Vopak joint venture is concerned, as previously informed, the joint venture has achieved a successful closure and is performing in line with expectations. The joint venture is constantly evaluating new business opportunities and proposals, and are confident that the combination of our strengths, both Vopak and Aegis, will lead to some interesting projects in the future. So that concludes my formal presentation, and we can now take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is regarding, can you provide us some sort of a EBITDA margin reconciliation for the gas business? The reason I ask is, so if I assume, let's say, that earlier guidance that probably the gas logistics business makes something like 1,000 rupees per ton, then if I subtract out from, let's say, your 2Q numbers of the entire normalized gas EBITDA, then what I get as the distribution margins is more like 2,500-2,700 rupees per ton. But I think the guidance was something like 4,000-5,000 rupees. So can you help me reconcile on the distribution margins?
Murad, do you want to take that?
See, we have done EBITDA margin in gas of around 184 crores. And if you take out 1,000 rupees, which you just said, that would, of course, leave around 500 crores. Sorry. Yes. The sourcing volume is, of course, not included in this, which is at a very small margin. But the combined margins of all the distribution put together, including bulk, auto LPG, and packed cylinders, is always close to 3,000 rupees per ton. And I think that is what you are getting in your calculation. So I don't see any much variant as such.
Yeah. And just to add to that, Priyankar, just to add to that, of course, the big volume of the distribution business is the bulk industrial volumes, auto gas, and packed cylinders, which are slightly higher margin, do not constitute the bulk of it. The bulk of it is the bulk industrial thing on which margins are in the 2,500 rupee range or 2,000 rupee range.
Okay. So the bulk, we should probably work with some number of 2,000 rupees, probably. Maybe a slightly higher something like that.
Yeah. 2,500 is probably about the right thing. It has always been in that range.
Just to add here, the new distribution business, which is really in the industrial area of Morbi and industrial clusters, do not have as much margins as when we were doing small distribution business. So this bulk business is always at a margin of around 2,000 rupees. So this is in direct competition with natural gas, which is why you will now have to rework with your margin numbers much closer to 2,500, between 2,500 and 3,000 blended rate.
Okay. Yes, yes. Then I guess it largely reconciles, I mean, that overall number. And then just one more question from my side regarding the OPaC deal cash flows. So if you can just elaborate for the benefit of everyone, how much money has been received so far, and how does it reflect in the 1H FY23 balance sheet? Because I'm not able to make it out completely.
Can I take that?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you look at the balance sheet, the cash being carried is appearing in three parts: as investment, cash and bank, and bank balance, which is around 1,300 odd crores. So that's the cash we are carrying. We have received around 2,000 crores, out of which, after you deduct tax of around 20%, leaves around 1,600 crore. And then if you look at borrowings, if you remember, the borrowings at JVCO level has been 600 crore, and we already were having debt of 400 crore. So from 1,000 crore, we have repaid debt of around 300-400 crore. Third reason is that the increased distribution business requires more working capital. So if you look at all the three, you will understand that around 2,000 crore is what has come in addition to whatever cash earned out of profits during H1. So that is how it appears in the balance sheet.
Thank you, sir. That's very clear. So that's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Yadav from Edelweiss Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Two questions from my end. One is in following regarding Priyankar's questions. I mean, you mentioned that since the Morbi business is directly competing with natural gas and hence the margins would be a bit lower. So could you just help us, you know, understand the visibility on that front? Because, I mean, how sticky would you believe these volumes are and what would be the, you know, share of Morbi within the, you know, the overall volumes which you have reported for the distribution segment? Next question, please.
Murat, can I just take the first half of that question and then maybe you can talk about some things up. So our belief is that the tailwinds that we are receiving from the whole natural gas situation has reasonably good and high visibility for at least the next year or two. I say that because, you know, we do not expect the natural gas situation to ease at least for another 4 to 5 years. Because, you know, as we know, the whole natural gas situation has been upended by not only the Ukrainian situation and the stoppage of Russian supplies of natural gas to Europe, resulting in a huge scramble for natural gas from the rest of the Europeans, which has led to this tremendous spike. We do not expect that situation to ease off in the short term, and so we believe that this is quite sustainable for a reasonable period of time. I said 1 to 2 years because obviously I wouldn't like to predict 5 years, but we have strong visibility for at least 1 to 2 years, and we believe that this is a sustainable situation. In fact, I believe that we will be growing our market, volumes more than just the Morbi market and other industrial clusters. I think that the volumes will increase rather than stable.
Right, sir.
And Murat, you
want
to add anything more?
Yeah, and just to add, Morbi out of 173,000 industrial distribution volumes that we have done, Morbi would be somewhere around 35-40%. This is in spite of the fact that I think a month Morbi was closed for their annual maintenance which they take up. So we expect these volumes to grow even further in the ensuing quarters.
Right. And so my second question is, post the JV structure, now we are consolidating JV. So, I mean, on this quarter, we see minority interest as around 7 crore in the profit and loss statement. Could you just give us some color on how to think about that going forward? I mean, as to my understanding, I mean, whatever has flown to the, you know, JV part, they do make a good chunk of EBITDA, and accordingly, the minority interest portion should have been higher. So, if some color in that direction would be helpful, please.
Minority interest is a complex working. Anyway, just to give a color, that we are always very much focused on each and every part of the results. And if you see, minority interest is well contained. This is also born out of the fact that our new terminal Kandla, which has moved to the JV Co, actually is earning more of distribution business and profits, which 100% accrue to the holding company. So that effect effectively puts us in a very nice position. So it's only throughput. In addition, that is what we have been saying earlier too. As far as liquid business is concerned, we have carved out liquid business of around, let's say, 600,000 CBM or a little less. But we have also got CRL liquid capacity into the JV Co, out of which we earn 50%, and the Friends acquisition. So that has somehow balanced the share which we give to the JV Co partner by the new capacity EBITDAs which are flowing in and coming to us as our share of 51%. So liquid is absolutely balanced. Gas, most of the profits out of Kandla is from distribution, which accrues 100% to the holding company, I think, This is how far I can go to explain MI. But we are very conscious of each and every part of the results, and we are focused on the EPS very much to deliver what we have always maintained in past, the upside and growth in EPS.
So, sir, would it be fair to assume that this minority interest amount going forward will move in line with the you know, profitability, or we should not expect any bump up or any lumpiness in it going forward in terms of any surprises beyond normal operation?
If the profits come in more, obviously the minority interest will increase. But as of whatever is Q2, in that state, the minority interest is what it is reflected in the results. But as the profits will grow even further, more, then obviously minority interest to that extent will show an increase, which you should project for.
Right. Thank you, sir. I'll pass it on. I guess I'll need to have more clarity on this. So we'll follow up later. That is it from my end as of now.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Yadav?
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amar More from Alpha Accurate Advisor. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand a little bit more on the gas business volume. So in this particular quarter, auto business volume would be around 10,000 metric ton, right?
For 6 months.
H1. That is for 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it would be what, like 50-50 divided?
Yeah.
Okay. And then that domestic distribution business volume would be how much, sir? Excluding commercial and industrial? That is Chota Sikandar?
17,000. We have already said that in the call. 17,000 odd.
17,000 metric ton?
Yeah.
That is for 6 months or for the...
Six months. H1.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, so basically, if I'm not wrong, in auto business, basically, we used to have the EBITDA per ton of something around 8,000 to 10,000, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
And in domestic business, the EBITDA per ton is around 4,000 to 5,000.
Yeah. A little lower, 3,000 to 4,000, not 4,000 to 5,000.
Okay, 3,000 to 4,000. So basically, then in that commercial business, then the commercial business average EBITDA is significantly lower, or what, sir? Or it has gone down significantly lower?
They just explained that Kandla bulk industrial sale to industrial clusters are not at margins which we usually are accustomed to, because these are really, really bulk sales. So that is how you will have to realign to the margins combined for the distribution business.
So basically that 3,000 to 4,000 range has come down to 2,000 to 2,500 range.
Yes.
And just so that you are clear, that the commercial segment was generally packed in larger cylinders. So, when you package a product, the margins are generally a little higher in the 3,000 to 4,000 rupee range. But a lot of these bulk supply to, the out of Kandla and so on is not packed. It's in, tanker trucks. Okay. So it's a different type of, it's a bulk industrial, sort of small industry supply.
Oh, got that, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My first question is on, the general competitive intensity that we are seeing. Because yesterday I just read an article that Adani has bought, majority stake in Indian Oil Tanking Company. And I see that, with the Vopak joint venture, we have, you know, begun a CapEx drive where, you know, we are adding more liquid as well as LPG storage capacity across most of the ports. So, do you see this activity to be intensifying apart from you guys and, you know, maybe if Adani has taken over or, you know, the competitive intensity is not something we worry about today?
Look, I think competition is always there in every industry. And to be honest, we welcome competition because our positioning, as I explained right at the outset, is, you know, quality, 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 service, and reliability. And you know, as far as this, the liquids business is concerned, this business has been fairly competitive throughout all ports for as long as I can remember. I mean, we have tremendous competition. We had tremendous competition in Kandla. We had competition in Haldia. We had competition in Kochi. You know, there are plenty of smaller operators and so on. In the Indian Oil Tanking, this terminal, Indian Oil Tanking Limited, this company has existed for some time. There's no new capacity that they are building. It's just, you know, one party acquiring somebody else's stake, Adani acquiring somebody else's stake. Obviously, Adani is a serious player, and we always respect them. And, you know, but we are confident that this is not going to change our plans at all. I mean, we are in, you know, 6-7 ports. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be in a couple more ports. And we will consolidate and strengthen our position so that we are market leaders in all the markets that we operate in. As far as gas is concerned, I think those of you who follow the company, you've seen how we have taken the leadership position now with our fourth LPG terminal in Kandla. And as you know, we'll be building more. And again, not at all concerned about competition.
Just to add here that, you know, the acquisition of stake is minority, not majority, as you said. And secondly, this IOCL business is more for petroleum storage, industrial terminals for captive IOC business and needs. So it has a distinction as far as what we being very true and a third-party logistics player where we are not attached as an industrial terminal or to any one customer as yet. So that's how there is a difference. Just to
Perfect, perfect.
Take a
Perfect. Thank you so much for this detailed answer. And then one more thing, Raj, you mentioned in the, you know, in the comments before that, you know, you see the natural gas demand remaining tight for many years. So just wanted to check that, you know, if across the world, a lot of people switch to LPG as a more alternative, like, you know, does the pricing differential, is it at threat or, you know, how do you see the demand-supply dynamics for LPG? You know, I know all of this in future is a guess, but, you know, whatever, to the best of your understanding, that would be great for us to know.
Yeah, I think we don't anticipate the whole world switching to LPG. Certainly, India is in a peculiar and unique position that for the last 50 years, possibly more than 50 years, India has been promoting LPG as a fuel. We were never promoting natural gas as a fuel. So India is a unique market in that sense that, you know, there is LPG being used for industrial and domestic purposes. Most other countries, developed countries, you know, even China and Japan and so on, moved away from LPG and moved to natural gas. Europe, of course, has been on natural gas mainly, and America as well. So we don't see a huge rush to LPG in other markets. I mean, there will be some switching, but not huge amount. In India, you know, natural gas is a relatively nascent industry and extremely price sensitive. Of course, energy in India, all Indian consumers are extremely price sensitive. So we believe that when you have a scenario where, you know, rich countries are bidding for cargoes of natural gas, for contracts for natural gas, they have the ability to pay more than the Indian consumers for natural gas. And so that combined with the fact that LPG has been long established for 50 years in this country for both domestic and industrial use, We think that's a trend that is going to be specifically Indian. As far as the supply of LPG is concerned, at this moment, our suppliers, of course, we are joint ventured with ITOCHU. They have a pretty good window. We ourselves are now very experienced in sourcing. We don't see a problem. As you know, when you produce natural gas, LPG comes along with that. So we don't see a supply constraint too much. I mean, prices will move up and down, but actual supply constraint, don't see a problem with that.
Perfect. Okay. So maybe that puts us in a sweet spot. So just one last clarification on, you said that, this entire Morbi volumes increase. So is it through the, more through the, that Magna 410 kg cylinder, or as you said, it will be more of tankers being supplied there and, they will empty it on their own, in their own system or something like that?
I think it's a mixed bag. You have some of the larger players which just take it in bulk, and they have their own tanks on storage tanks on site, small bullets on site. Some are smaller scale. They have Magna cylinders. Some are even smaller who have, next one down. You have, I don't know exactly what was the next one down, but yeah. So it's a mixture.
Okay, okay. Right, and then
go ahead.
Yeah, so on this one, if, just wanted to know from you, like Morbi, how easily did, if they were, on some other kind of fuel technology, how easily did they adopt to this LPG, and, any other clusters that you see where, we can grow in a similar way in the coming time?
Yes, I think we are definitely, there are some customers who are using natural gas, were using natural gas. They have installed these LPG backup systems. There are some who are converted from dirtier fuels to LPG. So I think we definitely are seeing this and making a big push to convert as many customers as we can onto either use of LPG / propane as a primary fuel. So we are seeing this happening not only in Gujarat, but other places as well.
Yeah, just to add that, a lot of power companies can now look at LPG to spike natural gas while producing power. So that would be another area where we see potential need and growth as far as LPG is concerned.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, guys, for answering this. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Lavanya from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Lavanya, may we request you to speak a bit louder? We cannot hear you, ma'am.
Yeah. Is it any better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I just wanted to check on, I got the sense that about 35 to 40% of our volume goes to Morbi. I just wanted to understand what's the composition of the rest of the segment, which industries and regions form the remaining distribution volume other than this Morbi, like fertilizers of which industries take the LPG?
I think there's a variety of applications. I mean, that hasn't changed much. I mean, for example, glass, fiberglass, aerosols, a number of, bakeries, number of industrial applications for using LPG as a heating fuel. I don't know. Murad, you want to add anything?
I want to add here that even different geography. So now we are selling bulk from Haldia, from Mumbai, from Kandla. Now we have four terminals all operating full on. And it's like Mr. Raj said, varied industries take and use in addition to what Mr. Raj mentioned, even steel, auto, mobile companies, etc. So it's a variety and different geography where we sell bulk. It's not just Kandla alone.
Okay, got it. So I just wanted to check this because if there was any shift in any other industry, just like how Morbi has been from LNG to LPG, so if that was helping us in any of the other industries.
We are smiling because those still remain as potential opportunities to grow even further. So I think we will see some of that happening in near future.
Okay, got it. And on the liquid segment margins, so how do you see this going ahead and, getting back to normalized levels of how we have seen previously, like 8 to 9% on EBIT terms? So how do you see this improving over the next few quarters?
I think, sorry, margins on liquid segment.
Liquid segment.
Yeah, 8 or 9%? I think it's higher than that, isn't it?
No, EBITDA margins on revenue, or what are you looking at?
So I was looking at EBIT margins based on reported, or even the EBITDA margins are slightly lower than what we were seeing earlier.
Yes. So EBITDA margins are 65% on revenue, and that is what we have always given, or advised that is how liquid should behave. But earlier, of course, were a little higher, and this is expected to improve because we have just taken over Friend's terminal, 500,000 kiloliters of capacity, as well as CRL, which was earlier run by Vopak. We see a lot of cost synergy going forward, and we expect even the mix of the products we store at our different facilities to graduate to more high-value products, which we'll see a definite increase in the EBITDA margins from the current levels. And, any increase in revenue from here on will flow directly or mostly into EBITDA because the expenses are all there accounted for. So we definitely see an improvement going forward in coming quarters over the EBITDA percentage to revenue as far as liquid business is concerned.
Okay. So any timeline here, sir, that you see that?
I think you'll see a quarter-by-quarter improvement.
Yeah, quarter-by-quarter should be an improvement, yeah.
Got it. And on Kandla, so how do you see taking the terminaling volume? So as of now, we don't have any contracts there. Do you plan to keep them open going forward or plan to enter into any contracts in this particular terminal because it's a decent size or big capacity for us? So how do you see that going ahead?
So I'm just going to first start off by saying that you will recall that, of course, Kandla Terminal was delayed by, implementation, commissioning was delayed by about 6 months because of COVID and so on. We finally got our first cargo in at the end of May. And I'm really pleased to say that the way the volumes have step by step improved, today we are in a position where, I think, and I'll ask Murad to comment on this,
As we talk, the first fully loaded ship for one of the national oil companies is being unloaded. And I think in this month itself, probably three ships are already planned, and in the first half itself would be unloaded. So that's a huge jump and a very good sign on things to come. So throughput-wise also, Kandla should be doing well in addition to the distribution business, which it is, being near to Morbi and other industrial clusters. There would always be a business of distribution also coming from Kandla. So Kandla is looking really, really good.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Just one.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Ankur. We cannot hear you, sir.
Is this better? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so just one question from my side. How does the contracting for LPG procurement works? Are these like long-term contracts or are these on a month-on-month basis? If you could just help us understand that, that would be excellent. Thank you.
First of all, you know, as far as LPG procurement is concerned, which we do through our joint venture with ITOCHU in Singapore, they are all on a back-to-back basis. First, you know, we respond to the tenders put out by the national oil companies, and if we win the tender, then there is a specified delivery period, say over 12 months, and the frequency of ships and so on. So, you know, once we have won that, you know, simultaneously, we will obviously on a back-to-back basis secure the ships and the actual supplies. This is all done in coordination with our partners, ITOCHU. So it's on a back-to-back basis, I think. Miraj, you want to just add anything to that?
Yes, no exposure on pricing, inventory, currency, nothing. Everything back-to-back.
How does the duration of these contracts vary? I mean, is it like a 10-month contract or the shorter duration contract?
I'm sorry, we weren't able to hear anything in that question.
Sorry, okay. Is that better? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Just on the duration of these contracts, I mean, are these like 12-month contract or are there any shorter duration contracts? Yeah.
No, I think generally there are 12-month tenders that are put out. I mean, there may be the odd, if in the interim, if PSU need some extra supplies, they might put a spot requirement, but generally they line up for 12-month periods, January to December.
Okay, sure. I think that's helpful, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dr. Amit Vora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. Yeah, I have a question that the revenues as compared to the last half year, FY22, have improved quite a bit, around 234%. But I'm not able to understand what is the reason that the profits have not, just as a common man, I'm not able to understand that. If you can help me understand that, the consecutive increase in profit is not that much. The sales and revenue have grown up significantly, 234%.
Murad, I think you can take that one. It's fairly easy.
Yeah, most of the top line is out of our sourcing business, which is, we just spoke about, back-to-back contracts for supplying shiploads of LPG, which are done at wafer thin margin of around $0.50 per ton. So the EBITDA arising out of this sourcing business is very low, though it contributes almost 80% to the top line, which is why you see the disparity between the revenue increase and the EBITDA increase. This sourcing business is done only for as a value addition to our customers, and because we can get these LPG at lower cost than what they are able to procure. So it's just sourcing, which is why we call it, and this contributes maximum to the top line, but minimum to the EBITDA.
Bottom line. Yeah, thank you so much for the answer. It was really helpful. There's one just last question. This is the third dividend for this year, I suppose, for this financial year. So I was of opinion that if you could consider share buyback also, because that would also enhance the shareholder value, if it's possible.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure the board will consider at some point share buyback.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand the CAPEX commentary which was mentioned at the start of the call. So can you just repeat that, and what is the guidance for the full year and for the next year?
Sorry, could you repeat the first half of the question again?
So actually, there was some CAPEX commentary at the start of the call. Just can you repeat that? I just wanted to understand that. And What is the guidance for the FY 2023 and FY 2024?
Okay. Murad, do you want to take that on the CapEx? I think we've already announced the. Yeah.
We have already said that we are already undertaking projects aggregating 1,250 crore at Pipavav, Mangalore and Haldia, of which in this year 50,000 CBM or kiloliter liquid storage terminal at Haldia, which we call H5, will get commissioned in this year. All others will happen in FY 2024 and FY 2025, depending on the kind of project that is being executed.
Okay. This 1,250 crore is for like next three years, right?
Yes. You can say that in FY 2023, 2024 and 2025, that is how the CapEx spent will come into the books in this year.
Any other utilization of cash we are expecting?
Oh, there are many things which, at Aegis, we are looking at. We'll come up, I think Mr. Raj can add to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the reasons that you remember that we talked about as far as the joint venture with Vopak is concerned, we see a huge plethora of opportunities, whether by way of moving into new gases, whether by acquisition opportunities that come to the table, you know, expansion of existing sites, which have not the market or projects have not yet been crystallized and so on. I believe that there are tremendous opportunities. Obviously, you know, we have the balance sheet and the cash to be able to move fast as and when these opportunities arise. I think, it's fairly clear to me that there is not a shortage of opportunities, and there's not a shortage of financial resources to execute on those opportunities.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Raj Chandaria for closing comments.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to conclude by saying that we're quite pleased with the way the year is unfolding. We have strong visibility for the next quarter and the quarter after that. Of course, you know, we have longer term plans as well, but I think I'd like to convey that we have good visibility, and we are pretty confident that we're going to have an excellent year. I look forward to speaking with you again at the end of January. Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Aegis Logistics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Okay, thanks. Bye.